Hello and welcome to the Wahoo Central podcast, which we record every week in the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. My guest today is Dennis Hohenschelt, whose fourth season as Virginia's head volleyball coach ended last weekend. Dennis, you are pretty much a regular on this podcast. Glad to have you back.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Your team, as I mentioned, ended the year last Saturday with a tough five-set loss to Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. Now that you've had a little bit of time to reflect, what are your general thoughts on the season?
Well, you know, I thought, we divide the season up into two parts, really, and three parts when you get to the NCAA tournament. We had a good first four weekends, what we consider the preseason. They still count. And, you know, we came out of there 8-3. And, you know, could it have been 10-1? Yeah, maybe, you know, but that's why you play the matches. And when we left American University 8-3, I was I thought the magic number for us would be to get to at the minimum 20 wins, and so we would have to go 12-8 in the conference. And I was pretty clear with the kids then. That's what I thought the magic number was. I thought being 12-8 in the conference would be enough to get us in. The 20 win mark would be enough, and with our RPI being where it was, I thought that would be okay.
In retrospect, well, you finished 18-13, yeah. 10-10. So obviously, it would depend which of those two losses were wins. But if you'd won the right matches,
yeah, you know, we thought when you look at it, we thought when we looked at it Monday again, you know, we lose the two matches at the end of the season. Are there matches during the season we thought we should have won? Yeah, you know, when you look at it, we lost to Pitt and Virginia Tech. Pitt finished at 47 in the RPI, which in the end, that's really what this game's about, is where you finish in the RPI and those types of things. Pitt finished at 47, and when we looked at it, we drew the line at 47. So if you would have taken all the automatic qualifiers, whatever bids were left, Pitt was the last team in. We think if we would have won those two matches, we probably would have been at 47 or 46 where Pitt was. But our resume, our body of work, was a lot better than Pitt's and teams in terms of teams we've played, our schedule. Now you look at top 25 matches, top 50 matches, top 100 matches. And after 100, we literally only had four games against teams out of the top 100. Whereas Pitt, who's on that borderline, doesn't get into the NCAA tournament, and they had 10 matches against teams 125 or lower, I guess, is what we're saying. So we thought the schedule worked for us. You know, we just ended up probably two games short.
Your second team here finished 18-14 overall. Your third team was 17-14. This year's group was 18-13. In each of those seasons, you also finished 500 or better in ACC play. You're obviously getting close to that elusive NCAA. Is there one specific piece you need to get over the hump? I know luck plays a factor, but do you need size?
That's a great question. We talk about with the kids about what does it take. I mean, that's the end-all, be-all, is what does it take. And so I think at times right now we let some matches slip away that we don't have to, you know, so that's on us to take care of that. And again, it's all about recruiting and can you upgrade
the
talent, right? And so do we have a lot of good kids on our team? Yeah. And the question is, can you get it to 17 good kids? And I think that's the answer right now. And so not only is it upgrading some of the starters, but I think it's upgrading some of the second team kids that play against those starters in the gym. And it's coming, for sure it's coming. I know it's coming for a fact.
The depth becomes a real factor.
Correct.
I'm sure when when players get hurt.
Yeah.
Not only in practice, but when you lose a frontline player, if there's not a big drop.
Yeah, and what I liked about this group is, man, we had a lot of injuries this year, and these kids kept grinding and grinding and grinding through it, and we probably had no business being in that match against Virginia Tech on Saturday. And you look up and we're at 2-2 and you go, hey, we have a shot at this thing, and haven't been real great, and the kids are hurt and they're trying to play. And, you know, we tried to manage it all season. And the problem is when the second team kids get hurt, or the backups get hurt, and now the starters, you go, where do we go to? And so some of the starters tried to grind it out. And, you know, I'm real thankful for the effort the kids gave at the end of the season. We ended up probably two games short, and you know, we have to go back and figure out how to get those two wins.
Is, even though the records have been very similar, do you feel like overall the program is in a better place now than like 2 years ago?
Yeah, for sure. I think the one thing that, and I just use this from experience, having played North, let's put, for example, played North, when I was at Penn State, we played North Carolina, I think in 2010. And I think North Carolina might have made the tournament this year. This team right now would have killed that North Carolina team in 2010. The conference is so much better right now than it's ever been. And with that, we got to get better, you know. But you know, we are better. But you know, there's another level for this group that it has to get to, and so. You know, you would have said to me, how good was this group in 2010? Hey, they could have probably won the ACC in 2010. And so, but the thing is, we're getting better, but the conference is getting better. So you got to keep doing those things to jump up in that upper group.
You mentioned the league. Four teams from the ACC made the NCAA tournament: Florida State, Miami, Carolina, and Louisville.
Right.
And it's clearly a league that's taken volleyball more seriously.
For sure. You know, and Pitt's right on the edge there. Syracuse is right on the edge. We're right on the edge. And so the next three teams were, you know, I think Pitt was 47. Syracuse might have been 58, and we were 59. And so now you're talking about seven teams in the top 60, which has been unheard of in this conference. And so it makes everyone better, and in turns, we have to continue to get better with our recruiting and the kids we bring in.
Before we look to the future, let's talk about your departing seniors.
Yeah.
You had Kayla Sears, Natalie Bosbeck, and the Fuller sisters, Lauren and Manon. What did they mean to the program, and how difficult will it be to replace
them? Well, it's difficult to replace that group because, you know, as we were doing this Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving trip's always tough because there's no one around, and you get on the bus and go 4.5 hours to Pittsburgh, then play, then go back on the bus and drive 5 hours to Virginia Tech, and there's nothing fun about that. What I told those kids at the end on Sunday was those kids were sitting in the locker room with me Thanksgiving weekend in 2012 when we were 3-something in the conference. Yep. And for them to be sitting there when we're 10-10 and have a chance to do some things means the world to me, because they, in the end, they're the group that's been part of the lows, and the high of the high. And so, or the best of the best. And I don't even want to say the high of the high, because I don't think we're at the high of the high yet. But for them to have been part of that, they've been on both extremes of the end. And so, I'm very proud of them, the things they've done. I thought Natalie has had an unbelievable career. Manon and Kayla have been hurt a lot back and forth, but have given everything they can. You know, Manon, its knee is really, really bad. And Kayla had this terrible bone bruise all season that we tried to fight through. You know, and Lauren, to be a first-team All-ACC player this year, a very, very deserving award for her. And so a lot of the success that has happened, or successes that have happened over the last 3 years, is solely based on this group.
One of your best players in 2014 was Jasmine Burton, and she missed the first part of the season.
Yeah, about half of it.
You know, how close did, by the end of the season, was she back to her?
Yeah, I think she was. I don't think she's at 100% right now, and that's, you know, that's just, you have to play the kid, you know, and so it's coming back from shoulder surgery is not an easy thing. And I think it'll probably take her to the spring to get back to where she was in terms of hitting power. You know, her jump's still really good, but, you know, she has to get some pop back on her arm, and she has to do some other things to help us be better. You know, she's a senior next year, and she's got to be able to block balls. And but I think for sure if we get some strength back in that arm, she's going to be back to where she was her freshman, sophomore year. And you know, she hit for some pretty high numbers even with her arm being what it was, but you know, I think there's still another level for her.
One of your first years, Anna Walsh, got a lot of accolades this year in the conference. What do you see for her going forward? And are there other members of that first-year class who did not play as much this year who you expect
to
contribute?
You know, the talk with Anna right now is Anna has this ability about her to get other people to play, and she sort of plays with a little bit of fire. Her next step in her progression, she had a great year. You know, she easily could have been freshman of the year in the ACC, and I don't know what the vote came out, but I'm assuming it's going to be pretty close, and she probably has a chance to be the ABCA, our region in the ABCA, probably be freshman of the year. She has a very good shot at that. Is she needs the change. She needs to spend a spring in the weight room. And that's, you know, that's with all the freshmen. And she needs to change her body. You know, her future is so, so bright. Not just as a volleyball player, but as a leader of this team. The kids like playing with her, and she makes the game fun. And so I think she's not only as a volleyball player, but a leader of this program. You know, I think that's a big step for her in the next few years. You know, we think Harley Sebastian's going to be pretty good. You know, she's a bigger kid on the pin for us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she had this terrible bone bruise in her ankle, which really set her back the last 4 or 5 weeks. And there wasn't a lot we could do about it. It's really just a rest thing. We redshirted Kat Young, who's an athletic kid and has, you know, the last 3 weeks of the season were her best 3 weeks where you go, yeah, this is going to happen. And Coral Kazarov was a libero defensive kid for us who had a nice run at the end of the season. So those kids are coming along, and they're going to have to play in the spring because when you lose kids in the spring, they're going to have to play, and it will be interesting to see how much they help us.
Of the players who were second and third years this year who maybe did not have large roles, who do you need to kind of raise their game and step forward next year?
Well, you know, I think it'd be nice if we can get something out of Haley Fauntleroy a little bit in that middle. You know, she has some shoulder issues that we're going to try to fix. But I just think those kids, those second and third year kids, have to step up. And you know, you and I have talked about recruiting and those things, and they're going to get pushed when the recruits get in here. And so I think those kids did a nice job this year. I thought Haley Cole had a really, really nice year as an outside hitter for us, and we asked her to do a few more things this year, and she took that on. But I think, you know, Haley and Lexi and Carly, they're going to have to step up their game to take us to another level. I think they're nice. They're a piece of this whole thing, and if they can up their game, we're going to be pretty good next year.
We talked, I think, before the season, maybe just for an article I wrote about the improvements at Mem Gym.
Yeah.
What was the atmosphere like there this year? The matches I was at, there were good crowds.
Yeah.
Was there a noticeable kind of improvement
in
the whole deal?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think when I'm looking at Mem right now, I think there's some physical improvements, there's some cosmetic improvements, there's some necessary things. And so I was actually just looking at it yesterday. We had 4 matches of over 1,000 people, which is sort of unheard of. I'm for sure that's probably the first time that's happened in Mem during volleyball season. And our attendance ended up being like 744 average attendance for the year. And that's with the one match where there was the opening home basketball game and women's soccer going on. And so, you know, you're always going to have those times. But I think we ended up like 10-3 at home, and for sure it is a big, big home court advantage for us. I can't thank the people enough for coming out and supporting the team this year. It's become a very magical place to play, a very tough place to play. And, you know, with the improvements that have happened with the bleachers and the fans and the things that are in the scoreboard and the things that are coming with cosmetically in the lobby and down in the main gym, I think it's going to be an awesome, awesome place to play. And people keep saying, well, what, you know, you should go to Jay. Why would I want to do that? You know, if right. my goal is to get over 1,000 people for all our matches. Yeah. And so I can't thank the people enough out there for supporting the team this year. It was awesome. It was an awesome place to play. And I think it's only going to get better.
Last month, the early signing period opened. 5 recruits signed letters of intent. What do you think of the group as a whole? Is there a player, or are there players in there who could have the impact that Anna had, you know, as a first year this year?
Yeah, I think there's 5 of them.
Okay.
Yeah, which is good. All those kids can play for sure. They're all pretty good. And as this class came together, it was pretty awesome. And so we're really, really excited about these kids. I'll just go through them real fast, if that's okay with you. You know, Jen Weinholt is a setter who was always very interested in UVA. Parents has one set of relatives up in Baltimore, one set of relatives, I think, down in Virginia Beach. Her sister goes to the University of Richmond, West Coast kid, but wanted to be on the East Coast. She's going to be the starting setter at her club in Coast. Very good chance that they could. What we talked about Anna with her club program and TAB and that type thing. She plays for Coast, which was the same club that Natalie Bosbach came from. I would expect Jen's team to be one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the country this year in the 18s division. Same deal where all 6, 7, or 8 of those kids are going to Division I schools. And so for her to get that experience to set that team is really big. Same thing we talked, you know, just playing that. And Jen's really, really good. And so I would expect her to come in and compete right away. And I think she's going to be a really important piece. She's been a really important piece to us in terms of recruiting because kids see her play. It's the Anna effect. Kids see her play and go, hey, I want to play with that kid. And that's a really big part for us and has been a really big part for recruiting down the road in the future here. So kids see her and want to play with her. Kylie Bankert's is sort of in the Anna mold in terms of a bigger middle 6'2 or 6'3-ish kid, can move side to side, pretty good heat behind the ball. I would expect her to be at that same level as Anna is. It was a really late in the recruiting process for us with her, but her club coaches kept calling every week and going, you're crazy, you guys are crazy for not doing this, just because she hadn't developed yet, but they thought, hey, it's coming. I think she'll step right in and be a factor for playing time, whether in the middle or on the right side, I don't know. But I think she's going to come in and be a physical presence. You know, if she can do what Anna did, I think there's no reason that we wouldn't look at her ready to play. The two, Caroline Scrafford's an outside hitter from Austin, Texas. She's probably a little bit behind volleyball-wise. Athletically, I think she'll be able to play. She's a big jumper, probably touches about 10-2, 10-3. Can probably play left side or right side. It just all depends. But we just need some skill stuff to catch up with her. And so hopefully that will happen pretty fast. But she'll be an athletic kid, a different athletically than what we've had. The two back row kids, Kelsey Miller out of Louisville and Jane Horner out of, we just say Orange County, Orange County, are two kids that are really good volleyball players. Kelsey is a smaller outside hitter on her club team, and she just plays hard, and she's a really good skill kid and can pass and defend. And you know, she's a 5'9", and I might be generous when I say 5'9", outside hitter playing against all these big kids, but she just is such a good volleyball player. You know, to get her was a really big get for us because some schools in the Midwest and some other conferences were all over her, but she fell in love with the school, and I would expect her to come in and compete for libero spot right away. Jane Horner plays for a really, really good club out of Orange County called T Street. She's a back row kid. Her club team won their division, won the national championship in their division last year in New Orleans. And as the libero, she was the MVP of that division. And so that's, I think that says a lot about her. Hard-nosed kid, plays with a lot of passion, a lot of fire, energy, that type of thing. And I would expect her to come in and compete for a spot. These kids will all compete for sure. They all play for good clubs and they all play really, really hard, which is, I like that a lot.
That's the class of 2016 for high school. I know you're on to 17, 18, probably 19.
Yeah. What? I start hate to think about if it's we're on to 19, but I guess that's where we got to be.
In the short term, your season's over. It's December. I know you're not really working with your current players.
Yeah.
Is this a big recruiting month, or do you get a little, downtime?
So my plan is my plan was we're actually going to go. My family and I were going to go down to Cary on Friday to watch soccer, actually, just because a good friend of ours is the head coach at Penn State. And so I was hoping we were going to be able to get to.
You thought we would be there,
I was going to get the matchup. But we're going to go down just to support her because she's a good friend of ours. And while I'm down there on Saturday, I'll go recruiting and watch some kids play. So we'll do a double dip of that type of thing. Then after that, it's pretty quiet. There's some things that are going on that I'm involved with. So I'm the chair of our region, our All-American region, so I have to run that call on Monday. Saturday, I have to fly to Omaha, which is where our Final Four is. I am, since I'm the region chair, I'm also on the All-American committee, so I have to be there on Saturday. We start the All-American stuff. Sunday, that goes till about Wednesday. It's a really long grind-out process. And then we're pretty much off until January. Let me think about this because I'm booking flights this morning is what I was doing. January 15th or 16th that weekend, and then it is full-blown recruiting, and we'll be out pretty much every weekend until the first weekend of May. May 1, we have to be – it's a quiet period for us, so there'll be January, February, March, April of recruiting, and at that same time we'll be training with the kids in the gym.
Well, good. Well, thanks again for stopping by.
You got it.
Best of luck on the recruiting trail, and good luck with those 19s.
Yeah, thanks. It's when I start looking at eighth graders and ninth graders, I get a little nervous, okay? And so I try to avoid that and let the assistants do those types of things.
Final exams are fast approaching at the university, and UVA Athletics has a light schedule in town this weekend. On Saturday, the men's basketball team hosts William & Mary at 2 p.m., and the women's team hosts NJIT at 7 p.m. Hope to see you there. In the meantime, check virginiasports.com for updates and information on all of our teams. And thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast.